This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And if you have questions for our retirement planning professionals from Klaus Financial, they'd love to answer them for you right now. Our number's 321-1310, toll free, 877-235-1310. Joining us this week, CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas. How you guys doing?
Excellent. How are you today, Sean?
Doing well. Malia, how you been?
Very good. A little warm.
It's going to be a hot one today, that is for sure. And don't forget, of course, telephone number for Klaus Financial, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You can also find them online at klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And get their sign up for the Market Pulse newsletter from the website, klausfinancial.com. I mentioned that telephone number before, 442-5637. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we will have our Klaus Quiz Question of the Week. We'll tell you all about it. A little bit later in the show, I will just say pay particularly close attention to the show, because typically the answer for the Klaus Quiz Question of the Week comes up during the program. And we talk on this show a lot about retirement planning. And I guess one of those big components that you guys deal with is actually estate planning. And it sounds like we're going to be talking a bit about that today.
We are, yes. And I think the first thing that is important for our listeners to understand is that we're not attorneys. So we do not create estate plans, nor do we, you know, give the final kind of legal guidelines as to what people should do. However, with that being said, estate planning, or, you know, and when you hear estate planning, a lot of times people go, what the heck is that? We're talking about a will or a trust or powers of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, financial power of attorney. Those are the kind of core documents that go into an estate plan, although it can also include things like LLCs for properties that you own, so on and so forth. But basically, the question in all of this is, we as financial advisors and investment advisors can only do so much. Our abilities end somewhere. We're not the ones that you go to get insurance coverage in the event that you die. We're not the ones that you necessarily go to get estate plans. But as the coach or quarterback of your financial affairs, it is definitely something we give guidance on in a huge way. So anybody who sat down with us can testify. One of the first things we do is we ask a comprehensive financial planning questionnaire. What insurances do you have? What estate plans do you have or not have? What investments do you have? So on and so forth. And so when you think about that estate plan, a lot of times that's something people just breeze by. They go, I don't have an estate, right? We've talked about this in prior shows. Well, I don't have an estate. That's for wealthy people. No. Every American, let me repeat this, every American should have a basic will with guardianship for your minor children. Now, whether or not you need a trust, whether or not you need, you know, all kinds of other documents, that's a question. But a basic will with basic powers of attorney, or at least some sort of POD or TOD for properties, is just critical. So make sure at some stage of your life as you're moving forward that you sit down with a financial advisor or an estate planning attorney to help you create some of these core documents.
You know, one of the things too is when you're kind of putting this stuff together, not only does it make it easier for your loved ones, it also, there are tax implications to this, aren't there?
Exactly. And, you know, as CJ said, depending on your own situation, what types of estate planning documents you're going to need, that will depend on probably what the attorney sits down and when he looks at or she looks at the whole picture, what you might need to cover your entire estate, whether it be a trust or a will or power of attorney documents, which is what we are generally recommending. But when it comes to preserving your estate, it's very important, because we do have this thing called federal estate tax, inheritance tax, as people like to call it, and that can come into play. And right now, the limits are up in the $5.45 million range. So for many people, their estate's probably not going to touch that. But that is a moving target. Like we like to remind people, just 20 years ago, we were in the $600 to $1 million range for an estate tax exemption. So what that means is, when all is said and done, and they add up everything about your estate, whether it be your investments, your home, your life insurance, and your property, if that ends up being, in this case today, more than $5.45 million, federal tax will levy an estate tax on you in the neighborhood of 45 to 50%. It could be that high. So in the event that were to happen, your beneficiaries would not be thrilled. They're not thrilled because you're gone. Let's start with that. But secondly, knowing that so much of what you were going to pass on got hit by federal estate tax like that is something that can be avoided with the proper trust put in place if that's what's needed. I'd also like to mention CJ brings up the point about guardianship. So some people think the only reason they need a will is if they have kids. What we find many times as we work with clients as they've gotten older and they never did have kids is that they've amassed a lot of money. Imagine that. You've amassed a lot of money because you didn't have kids, but you worked hard for it. And, yeah. You know, that is equally important. I think whatever your charities that you hold close to your heart are or some extended family member, you certainly do want to make sure that someone knows where that money is intended to go.
Malia Cuevas and CJ Kloss joining us from Kloss Financial. This is Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. If you have any questions for Malia or CJ, they would love to answer them for you right now at 321-1310, toll free 877-235-1310. We'll talk a little bit more about estate planning. We'll also get into wills and trusts. Who needs them? Does everybody really need them? We'll talk about that. We'll take more of your calls next as well. As Money in Motion continues, don't forget the Kloss Financial office's telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637 because, of course, that's where you call to set up an appointment. We'll also have our Kloss Quiz question of the week coming up a little bit later on in the program. Your chance to win a $25 gift card for Chili's. We'll talk about that. We'll continue our conversation with CJ and Malia and take more of your calls next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And our number is 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. If you have questions for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, they'd love to answer them for you. Don't forget as well, you can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. You can also give them a call at their office here in Madison, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. As a matter of fact, calling right now is Dan. And Dan, you have a question, and you're on with CJ and Malia from Kloss Financial.
Good morning.
Morning.
Got a question on the gift tax, or say if you're getting a property handed to you, see if they should have that put on your name on the deed, or say, and then you have another sibling that it's funded through the state because they need special needs, and you want to have their name taken off of if their name is on the deed.
Yep.
And just wondering of the certain process, and say if you're receiving something, the other people are alive, but what's the process you need to do to get there before stuff happens?
Yeah, no, great question. So I'll kind of, Dan, repeat a little bit of what you said just so make sure the other listeners were hearing. But Dan is asking a question about kind of how gift taxing works if you receive monies or assets during life. And then additionally, what about special needs and kind of making sure that somebody with special needs doesn't get disqualified for state aid if they end up inheriting money or even getting money gifted. So I guess it's important for people to understand that this $5.45 million federal estate tax exemption applies to whether or not you receive money post-death. So again, mother and father die, you receive, let's say, $6 million, and then the money that's over the 5.45, so about $1.5 million, or I'm sorry, about $500,000 in this case, would be subject to that federal estate tax. Well, when you're receiving money during life, there's this thing called a gift tax, unless you just claim it as a gift on the tax, meaning the person giving you the funds or the land claims it as a gift, and then what it does is if it's over $14,000 in any year, then anything over that reduces what they call your quote-unquote lifetime exemption, which is that $5.45 million. So it's not that you have to pay tax. It's not that the person giving you money has to pay tax when they, you know, give you a gift. It's just that they have to claim it. And when they claim it, it reduces that lifetime exemption of $5.45 million. Now, as it pertains to your second question of special needs, 100%. You or whoever's asking this question needs to be talking to an attorney, because a special needs trust should be established in most circumstances, and the money should go into the special needs trust and not directly to the special needs person. So really, you have to be really cautious whenever you're dealing with somebody that has special needs. So there you go. Hopefully that answered your core questions, Dan.
And that's the same as if you had property that's going to give
yep.
it to you?
You got it. Same thing. As a matter of fact, Dan is asking another another question that applies to something I was going to mention, which is many times people don't deem themselves or consider themselves wealthy until they realize that an estate is comprised of everything, including death benefits of life insurance. So suddenly you go, oh, I forgot about that $2 million term policy that mom and dad had. And, oh, I forgot that they had that farmland they had inherited from grandma and grandpa that's worth, you know, $20,000 an acre. So be cautious. Your estate is comprised of all of what you own plus any life insurance proceeds.
Dan, great question. Thanks for the call. And I was thinking that as we were going into break, I thought, you know, you think if you've got, you know, the grandparents having the family farm, and you think, oh yeah, they've had it for years. You don't think about the monetary value. The government sees that the monetary value
as Malia will attest, the number one kind of segment of the population that gets surprisingly crushed by the federal estate tax are farmers. Mm. Or farm owners, I should say. They don't necessarily do the farming themselves, or land owners. Because again, some of these people will live more or less paycheck to paycheck. They really don't have a lot of cash in the bank, but they're sitting on black gold, mm-hmm. right? They're sitting on dirt, and that dirt can be really valuable as it grows over time.
And they always say they're not making more of it.
That's right. That's last time I checked.
He is CJ Kloss. She is Malia Cuevas. They come to us from Kloss Financial. Of course, they bring you Money in Motion right here on 1310 WIBA. If you have a question like Dan did, CJ and Malia would love to answer it for you right now at 321-1310, toll for 877-235-1310. You can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. You can also call their office here in Madison, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. Talking about estate planning and wills and trusts are the thing that we had kind of teased we're going to talk about. And first off, I think a lot of questions is, what's the difference? And the other thing is, will everybody need that will and trust?
Exactly. It's a great question. And yes, we would suggest that most people need to have one. And if in fact you think you don't need one, that's what we like to remind you, is that the state has written one already for you. And we kind of laugh about this because we think, well, I mean, what would it really say? It probably says pretty close to what I would want. Well, probably not if there's been any changes in your life. Perhaps you've been remarried, perhaps you have children that you don't want to leave money to. There could be a lot of life changes, and each state has something written for you if you die without a will. It gives stipulations on how property should be transferred. So there's rules of descent and distribution is what it's called. So there's a list a mile long. It'll start out with this property shall be distributed to a surviving spouse, and then perhaps to a descendant of the descendant, perhaps half the entire state to the surviving spouse and half to the descendant's descendants, and it goes on and on. So that's where we would like you to take a second glance at what you had put in place maybe 20 years ago, or perhaps you never put in place, and make sure that you've written it the way you want it written, because I don't want it to be left to the state. Very important to understand that the will is going to describe how you want your assets left. The other thing we like to point out is that you also have the ability to list beneficiary designations on your investment accounts and your bank accounts. So while you have perhaps a trust, a will, it is important to understand that beneficiaries, those actually trump either a will or a trust. So you want to be very careful about continuing to update those as life changes as well. I think CJ does a good job of describing the absolute difference between a trust and a will and how you can avoid probate with those.
Well, so I guess it's so interesting as Malia's sitting here and talking, and even as I've been giving you some updates on what a will and a trust looks like, I guess I just hope that our listeners understand, number one, you need to move towards this. Don't stick your head in the sand on this one. Because the facts are that 50% of Americans die without a will. We call this dying in intestacy. It just means you died without a will, and therefore your estate is subject to whatever the default provisions are that the state has identified for you, depending upon where you die. And let me tell you, Malia said, it probably won't say what you want it to. Let me redefine that. I guarantee you, you'll never hear me say that word for anything else besides this.
No, you won't.
I guarantee you it doesn't say what you want it to. Yeah, there might be one. I mean, it's going to have default provisions that if you would have chosen them on your own, you would have chosen differently. And Malia just listed a few of those exceptions here in just a couple seconds. But the list goes on and on and on of all the defaults that they would have apply. So let's get back to this. What's the difference between a will and a trust? Well, one of the core differences is that a will goes through probate. Probate is not an evil thing. It's just the court-ordered kind of public process for the settlement of your estate. Wills are a public document. They will get filed at the county courthouse. So somebody could go read your will after you have died and your assets have been distributed. Whereas a trust is a private document. There is no probate estate opened up. It can be at times easier for your beneficiaries to settle an estate that has a trust as the core document. But I want to be clear, if you have a trust, that doesn't mean you don't have a will. It means that your trust is your primary document. You still have a will for things like guardianship, or it's actually called a pour-over will in that case, which just means, well, what if I forgot to put something in the trust? Well, then it pours over to the will, and the will shoots it back into the trust. So going with a trust-based estate plan does not necessarily mean you don't have a will. It just means that the will is almost like a supplement to the overall trust. But one of the big differences is there, are you opening up probate, which is the will-based, estate plan, versus am I avoiding probate by going with a trust document?
He is CJ Kloss. She is Malia Cuevas. They come to us from Kloss Financial. You can find them online, klaasfinancial.com, klaasfinancial.com. Their telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. If you want to set up an appointment, give them a call. They don't forget. It doesn't cost anything for the initial visit. That first kick of the tires, they get to know you. Again, the telephone number, 442-5637. You're also going to want to hold on to that telephone number. Coming up in the next segment, we'll have our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, your chance to win a $25 gift card for Chili's. We'll explain how all of that works. Coming up next, we'll also talk about power of attorney and those documents, what they are and what they exactly prescribe. We'll do that next as we continue Money in Motion with Kloss Financial right here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And we still got time for your call. If you have a question for CJ and Malia from Kloss Financial, you can find them online, klaasfinancial.com. That's klaasfinancial.com. The office telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. Or as I mentioned, you can give us a call right now at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Talking today about wills, trust, estate planning, and of course that leads us into power of attorney. We'll get to that in just a moment. You want to really wrap up probate? I know we touched on it a little bit, but I think there are some questions.
Let's
about
just quiz Sean on that.
Yes.
One.
Well, probate, huh?
Let's just wrap up one other quick kind of concept or comment as it pertains to wills and trusts, which is basically, if you think about it, we've all heard, on the TV shows and on movies, hey, that's a trust fund baby, right? That kid's a trust fund baby. And what does that really mean? Nobody really knows. What it effectively means is if I were to die and say I just had a basic will, but I didn't want my kids to get the money immediately because I'm worried about their ability to manage money, which, by the way, smart thought. I mean, how many times do young children at, say, age of 21 inherit money and it helps them? Mm-hmm. Most of the time it hurts them, right? So adults will say, no, I want it to pay out at maybe a third of it at 21, a third of it at 28, and a third of it at 30 or 32. Well, the question is, where does the money sit until those ages are met? And the answer? A trust. A trust that has a trustee, so somebody that oversees it on behalf of that person until they reach those quote-unquote distribution ages. So that's basically all we're talking about here, folks. Sometimes we overcomplicate things. It's just, where does the money sit until it's distributed to those beneficiaries?
Let's talk power of attorney, shall we?
Definitely. And so this is the other, we call it a trio of documents mm-hmm. that you're likely to have done. That will include, you generally speaking, a will, perhaps a trust, but for sure, power of attorney documents for property and health. Health, everybody understands. They go to the hospital, they make you fill that one on the spot, and you're like, what is this? Well, they want to make sure that your directives are on file and current. Well, same goes for a power of attorney over property, which includes your investments, your home, and other items like that. In the event that you are incapacitated, these documents are extremely important. Now, if you die, there are beneficiaries listed, at which point, or your will or your trust, which will carry out what you have desired. But if you're incapacitated, the only way someone can actually access your funds or make decisions with regards to your property or your health is with one of these current documents. This is probably by far the most important document for someone like CJ and myself as we work with clients and their loved ones to make sure that they have access at the right time to perhaps your financial affairs. So please, please, please get those reviewed, get them updated, and make sure everybody has a copy.
Well, and I'll add into that, many times what will happen is we don't think about power of attorney documents until they're needed, of course, right? And then we say, hey, a husband got in car accident, doctor is asking if I should allow this treatment, right? Normal question. And he wants to see my power of attorney document. So I brought him my marriage license. And the doctor goes, that doesn't do me anything. I want to know who has the right to make medical decisions for this man. And of course, then that person says, well, I'm the spouse. And that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for a medical power of attorney. Secondarily, where this comes up is when incapacity happens mentally, right? So that could be a car accident, or it could just be everyday good old aging, mm-hmm. right? You get to a phase where your mother or father is 75, 80. They're starting to show signs of dementia. Their banker maybe calls you and says, hey, by the way, Susie's been in here three times this week asking me the same question. And these things happen all the time. Well, the problem is, who then can make financial decisions for your mom or your dad? And of course, if you go in and say, you know, here's my birth certificate. See, I'm their child. The banker or the investment advisor, they don't care about that. They need to see a legal document that authorizes that authority. And sometimes what will happen is they'll say, all right, I've got the power of attorney. And the banker says, great. And you say, and I've determined that it's better for my mom to move it from bank A to bank B. So I, as her financial power of attorney, will be doing that on her behalf. Oh, but the problem is that POA does not authorize you to make beneficiary designations. And suddenly, boom, you're really stopped from actually moving forward on some of these things. So step number one is get the documents. Step number two is know what it actually empowers you to do and not to do.
He's CJ Kloss. She is Malia Cuevas. They come to us from Kloss Financial. Of course, they also bring you Money in Motion right here on 1310 WIBA. You can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com. A lot of great information on the website. You can also sign up there for their weekly Market Pulse newsletter. I got signed up a couple of months ago. A lot of really good information comes to you once a week. It's not spammy or anything like that, but a great opportunity to just get a quick snapshot on what's been going on in the markets. Again, just get to klossfinancial.com. Telephone number for Kloss Financial Offices, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. You're going to want to hold on to that telephone number because it is now time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. Just a moment, I will ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial Offices here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you will win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card for Chili's. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. Which estate planning document goes through the probate process upon your death? We'll even give you it's a multi-choice here. I love these. A will, or a trust. Telephone number 442-563.
Yeah, we should have put in more options.
442-5637. First caller with the correct answer will win the $25 gift card for Chili's. CJ Malia, fun as always. We'll see you in a week.
Thanks.
This is Money in Motion, 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Klass Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klass Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klass Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klass Financial.